Okay, well, welcome everybody tonight. We're going to start with constantly abiding. There's a peace in my heart the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. All right, let's stand. We'll sing together our first song tonight.
Oh,
verse, it's talking about a mortal. Never can a mortal know. I was thinking about that for a minute. It reminded me that the angels look at our redemption and they wonder how it could happen. Right? Like they don't understand because they were never redeemed. They were created and they're in heaven forever as long as they exist. They're eternal. They're immortal. But we have a mortal body, but we have an immortal soul. Or mind and soul and spirit, however you want to look at it. So that part, it's immortal whether you're saved or not, right? That you're going to live forever one place or another, right? So the redemption we have, we can celebrate because we know that we're going to live that eternity in heaven with God. All right, let's sing the last one. Rejoice in the Lord. So Chuck is preaching tonight. Come on up, bud.
Good evening. It's good to see you all this evening. It's amazing. I don't go to the morning service usually, but this morning obviously I did. And we had about 60 people here. It was just amazing the size of the service this morning. And Rodney and Judy Sheets were here. That was kind of interesting. They come the first Wednesday, their daughter drives them. They don't drive anymore, but their daughter drives them, and they came this morning. It was a blessing to see them, so see some new faces and things. Do have some prayer requests to share with you. I also have a thank you card from the Hazelwoods. If you remember, we collected some things for their ministry, and some of the men took that out to them. I think, Brother Tim, you were one of those that went out there, and it says, pardon me?
And Joe, okay.
It says, Pastor Ray and congregation, from the bottom of our hearts, we want to thank you for the shelving units, roasters, food and storage containers. Thank you for your words of encouragement and loads of love you have shown to us. We are blessed to have you in our lives. Many beautiful things cannot be seen or touched, but they are felt with the heart. What you have done for us is one of them. We are grateful to have such a loving church family and thankful that you are part of our lives and ministry. We thank you for your love, support, and encouragement. Love in Christ, Dennis and Diana. So we'll put that in the back there. But they wanted to thank us for that. Some other requests that were mentioned this morning that I'll share with you. Pastor and Mel are out of town traveling. They left this morning, probably there already, but traveling to Pennsylvania for Mia's gender reveal, whatever they're doing, party, whatever they call it. But so they're traveling for that. Be traveling back, I believe, Sunday. He's hoping to get back before the eclipse happens, but they'll miss Sunday. I think Pastor Brett and David are taking the Sunday services. But pray for them as they travel back and forth and things go well for that. Pastor Brett has a dear friend, and if you get the prayer chain, it's been mentioned on the prayer chain, Jonah and Sarah Scott is the last name. So pray for him. He's a young pastor in Wisconsin. Him and Pastor Brett were in college together. They actually were in each other's weddings. But he got a strep throat, I believe it was strep throat, and it turned into some kind of infection. And he's actually in an induced coma right now. They have two children. Actually, his wife was expecting the third, and she just had it, I believe, yesterday. He is unaware that they've had the third child. She had a girl. They had two boys. Now they've got a girl. And he's actually unaware of that. He's been undergoing, he's in sedation. They have woken him up a little bit and tried to get some response from him, and they have been able to get some response, but then put him back under again. It's just a rare and aggressive bacteria. He was in septic shock. He's had two surgeries because of it. They're trying to remove this infection and that sort of thing. So just pray. He's actually on dialysis because of it, so just a lot of things. Just a young man, Pastor Brett's age, healthy, and just all of a sudden came down with this. So just pray for the family, the wife, particularly Sarah. She's just had a baby and just dealing with all of this, her husband in the hospital. So pray for the Scott family. I believe, did I say they're in Wisconsin? I think pastor in Wisconsin, yes. Kelly Glass, Donna Glass's husband, saw an oncologist yesterday. He had 35 staples removed Monday, but they're having trouble keeping the wound closed. So pray for that. He has a PET scan next Tuesday to see what the condition or the advancement, I guess, of the cancer. He sees a radiologist next Wednesday, and they're going to do a plan for treatment. So pray for Kelly Glass and Miss Donna as well. Margaret Gosser is home, just very, very weak. She's lost a lot of weight. She needs to put some weight back on. She is walking in the house with some assistance. But praise the Lord, they found no cancer, but she is very weak and dealing with that. Three were mentioned for salvation this morning, Teresa, Jason, and Sharon, that all need the Lord. They're friends of Brooke Carter. And Brooke Carter's dad had surgery on his hip. He had a gator accident. I'm taking it, it's a motorized thing, not an alligator. But anyway, he got hurt and he's got a hip situation. Dan Dennison is home, they said doing the same. He just needs strength and he's struggling, so pray for Brother Dan and Miss Glenda. Shirley Morris, who was Shirley Bullock, I know her as Sharon Bullock, but anyway, Shirley Bullock. Anyway, she's having knee replacement surgery on April 15th. She's in a lot of pain right now because of it. And they're concerned about her blood pressure. Her blood pressure, anytime she goes through something like this, just goes crazy on them. So they're trying to keep that under control so she can have this knee replacement surgery. Let me see here. The Star's grandson, Keith and Betty's grandson, Jacob, had a motorbike accident, has some broken bones, and he was actually in surgery today for that. So, and then Karen Kinney's granddaughter, Rose, is going through some issues. She's 18. I believe I live in Kentucky, and she's having some issues. So if we would pray for them or for her. That's what I have. Is there anything you want to add or make us aware of? Brother Tim?
My boss, his name is Justin, was at the orthodontist with his daughter this afternoon, and his hand went numb, and his face went numb. So he's at the hospital. That's the way to stop that one.
Pray for Justin. It's a boss of yours who's having some numbness and some issues. He went to the hospital to get that addressed. So pray for him. Brother Ed? Yes, Doc?
My Uncle Nick has bladder cancer, and they took his bladder out at University Hospital. And so he's back home in Elkhart recovering now. And so I don't know if he's saved or not. I'm not sure. But if you could pray for the Yaders, he's big guy, and Lynn Yader.
Yader family?
Yeah, Y-A-D-R.
Pray for the Yader family. Bladder was removed, so pray for. Anybody else? Ski?
Pray for our family. We're traveling to Florida.
Traveling to Florida.
Two weeks.
In 2 weeks or for 2 weeks?
For 2 weeks.
Okay. Pray for us. We're left here. You get to go. Okay. But we'll pray for safety, though. All right. Yes, Ms. Becca. What is it? Nationals? Where is that at? Oh, down at Bob Jones. Okay. All right. So pray for William and some from Suburban. No, he's not Suburban. Where at?
Colonial.
Okay. From Colonial School, going down to Bob Jones for some national competitions. So pray for them as they travel down there. So, anybody else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll ask him to bless these requests as well as our time together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you that you love us and that you're involved in our lives. I pray that you'll challenge our hearts tonight through your word. I pray for those who are struggling with things, just so many issues going on in people's lives. We really feel for this family and the Scott family, this young man who's dealing with these issues and a new baby coming into the household. Just pray for his wife, Sarah, as she's dealing with this and helping him with this. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless. Thank you for their church family that's there for them, and just pray that you'll encourage them and help his body to respond to the treatment that's going on. Just pray for all these other requests that are mentioned, those who are sick, those who need salvation, and those who need healing, and pray that you'll just work in lives and hearts, bring safety for those who are traveling, and the Lord, just work in and through us as we pray for one another, care for one another. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6, we'll be there. We're going to do three passages of Scripture this evening. My mom was instrumental in bringing salvation into our family. My mom got saved in our family. She was the first one in my immediate family to get saved. My grandparents had gotten saved. My mom got saved. And she prayed for my dad and took us kids to church when I was little. One night, my dad came home at 3 in the morning. My mom's Bible was open on the kitchen table. She had been praying and reading her Bible. And he'd been talked to about the Lord. The pastor of the church had come. My dad was known as the guy that's hard against the Lord. You know, the pastor, every time an evangelist would come, the pastor would bring the evangelist to our house to preach to my dad and try to get him saved and talk to him about the Lord. And my dad would Actually, the last time Pastor Raines brought an evangelist by, my dad told him, he said, "I don't want you ever coming back again." And but he does remember the pastor said one thing when he left. He said, "Chuck," I'm junior, so my dad was Chuck also. But he said, "Chuck," he said, "one day you're going to need the Lord. And when you're ready," he said, "just call me anytime. I don't care when it is." Well, my dad got home that night at 3 in the morning, started reading my mom's Bible, got convicted. At 3 in the morning, he called Pastor Raines and said, "I need to get saved." And the pastor said, "Come on over." Drove over to his house and got saved. And so my mom was instrumental in bringing my dad to the Lord. And I got saved from my dad. He led me to the Lord. And but when I was 15, my mom got cancer. And she was diagnosed with breast cancer, which had spread throughout her body. They gave her about 2 months to live. She lived for 2.5 years after that. She died when I was 17. Now, there were 6 of us kids still at home when my mom got sick, so my grandparents moved in with us. My grandmother started taking care of us kids. My grandmother would fix us breakfast and fix our lunch and get us off to school. And my mom started sleeping in a hospital bed in the living room. So she was there in the living room, and so we would be able to see her before we went to school. And we came home from school, we could talk with her. And so she just became a fixture in the family there in the living room, not able to help us. She was getting treatment and cared for and that sort of thing. My grandmother and dad would give her treatment and care for her. But for us kids, you know, she's just there in the living room. But it was a good transition for our family, for my grandmother to be there and care for us. I just remember some times if my mom liked to watch a TV show called, it's Johnny Carson, whatever, Late Night or something like that, whatever it's called, Johnny Carson Show, Tonight Show, I think maybe is what it's called. But she loved to watch that. So she, sometimes for a special treat, if I could stay up late, she'd let me climb in the hospital bed with her, and we'd watch Johnny Carson and laugh and just have a lot of fun together. I just remember those times with her. When I was in college, they called me home. I was 17. They called me home and said, she's not going to make it, so you need to come home. I made it home that evening. She ended up dying the next morning. I got to talk to her that night before she died. That evening, I walked out in the field behind our house and just crying and praying, you know, "Lord, don't take my mom. I want my mom to live," you know. And I was a teenager, you know, and all that, but I just, as I look at it now, you know, I was kind of selfish, you know. I didn't care if she spent the next 20 years in that hospital bed. I wanted my mom. You know, I didn't want to lose my mom. That was what mattered to me, you know. Praise the Lord, God didn't answer that prayer. God took her. For her sake, she's in heaven, and she knew the Lord. And praise the Lord for that. I was read a commentator this week, and he said this: "Thank God that this world is under His control and not mine. We'd be in deep trouble if God gave us everything that we asked for. Our asking is based on our own limited knowledge, and all too often, it is colored by our self-interest. We can only praise God that He does not answer every prayer that is prayed in faith." And so praise the Lord that He knows better, and He answers according to His will. Tonight, I want to talk about prayer. As I look at our church and some of the things that are going on, my wife has the prayer chain on her phone. I don't have it on mine. But every time she'll send me a text at work or call me, "Hey, I got a prayer chain." I'm like, "Oh no, not again!" You know, it just seems like we're inundated with prayer requests and people dealing with things. I thought it was just because I'm getting older, but I asked my boys, and they said, "Yeah, Dad, we see the same thing." You know, so it's not just the fact that I'm getting older, and maybe we're all getting older. I don't know. Maybe the devil's working. You know, he knows his time is short, perhaps, and he's really working in people's lives and things like that, and afflicting and that sort of thing. But I want to talk about prayer tonight because I think it's important that we know how to pray and we pray in the right way. You know, prayer is good and we need to pray, and we have been praying, I believe. But I really think God wants us as a church to learn how to pray and to pray, you know, and pray effectively. And I think that's important. I want to look at 3 prayers in the Bible. First one is in Daniel chapter 6. We'll read some of the verses there in Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 5. You remember the story here. This is actually the story of Daniel in the lion's den. We won't get into the lion's den, but these men are opposed to Daniel. They're trying to get him in trouble, and that's kind of where we pick up here. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal decree and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, He shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So see some things about Daniel. I want to talk about having a plan of prayer. It's important that we have a plan when we pray. You know, we all pray. You know, sometimes it's just before a meal. You know, we say a prayer. But we need to have a plan when we pray. It's important. Here we see Daniel. These men are trying to get Daniel to stop praying. It's interesting. Someone said it takes about 21 days to start a habit. And they were trying to get him to stop praying for 30 days. And someone has suggested that perhaps the devil was trying to get him to stop for 30 days, thinking that if he did, he wouldn't pick it up again. And so he felt like, you know, Daniel needed to stop praying, and Daniel obviously refused to stop praying. With that, I have some papers on the back. I'll try to remind you at the end. It's a 30-day prayer guide, if you will, prayer journal, whatever. It's to help you pray for 30 days. It gives you topics. There's 30 topics with Bible verses to help you pray specifically each day for these things. Now, along with those, you'll pray for some things that are concerning you and for others, whatever, and that's important. But this will give you a guide that if you can, and the idea is if you can pray for 30 days, you'll keep praying. You know, it'll become a habit, and that's what we're looking for, is we want to have a plan, and this is an opportunity to start a plan of prayer. But we see Daniel had a specific plan of prayer. What was his plan? What did Daniel do? We see that specifically in verse 10. And we understand here at the end of the verse, as he did aforetime, this wasn't something Daniel just all of a sudden, hey, you know what? They won't let me pray. I better start praying. No, he was doing this all along. And he just continued with what he was doing. It says, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And they found him praying and making supplication. So some things about Daniel's prayer. First of all, Daniel had a place to pray. Where was he praying at? In his house. He went to his house. Three times a day, he specifically went into his house to pray. Now, if you look at the beginning of the chapter, Daniel is president over all these princes in the kingdom. He's made first under the king, over 120 princes. He's the top one. He had a lot of responsibility. I don't know what it was. I didn't really look into what Daniel's jobs were, that sort of thing. But my guess was it wasn't working from home. You know, it was probably somewhere else. But he made it a point to pray at home three times a day. So somehow that meant he had to travel to home. It was important to him to have a specific time and place to pray. He went there to pray. I was telling this morning, we made a prayer closet in our bathroom. It worked out perfect. It sounds odd, but there was a corner of our bathroom where the electrical box was. It was kind of a separate little cubby, and so we put a curtain up and put a prayer bench in there and a bulletin board up there with some, and pinned some things on it for prayer things, and that was our prayer. It worked out perfect because I'd go in the bathroom in the morning to brush my teeth, and I could just slip into the prayer closet. No one knew I was praying. You know, they just thought I was in the bathroom. You know, and now we in our garage we made one. That's the only place we have in our house now, is in our garage to make one. So we made a little prayer closet in our garage, and so it's a place we can go and pray. And Jesus talked about that, going to your closet and pray. And wherever that is, whatever place you have, it's important, though, that there's a place you pray. And I know you can pray anywhere. Most people who say, I can worship everywhere or I can pray everywhere, usually pray nowhere. You know, they don't pray anywhere. You know, they say, oh, I can do it everywhere. I can do it anywhere, you know, but they just don't. You know, yes, you can, but most people don't. And you can pray driving. Just don't close your eyes. You can pray anywhere. The Bible says pray without ceasing, so that's great. We can, but I do think we need to have a plan of consistent prayer, where you have a place, you have a time, set aside where you go and pray. And I think that's very important that we do that, that we have that place. Daniel did that. He also had a position of prayer. It's kind of interesting. Daniel here, as we read the story, and we're a little bit in Daniel, we kind of get a little confused here with maybe from Sunday school, junior church, whatever. But Daniel is 81 years of age in Daniel chapter 6 when he goes into the lion's den. He's 81 and he's getting down on his knees, you know? And I'm not saying we all have to do that. The Bible doesn't command that. But it is interesting that it was important for him to get in a position of prayer, whether that's physically or spiritually, mentally, be prepared to pray. You know, yeah, you can pray while the TV's on and you're sitting on the couch in front of it, but I'm not sure that's really very, you know, going to do a whole lot of good. We want to have a specific time, place, and a position of prayer that's set aside for prayer. Daniel was willing to get down on his knees to pray, and it was important. He also prayed with his windows open towards Jerusalem. We read that in 1 Kings chapter 8. You remember Solomon praying over the temple, talks about when God takes us to another land, when the enemy comes and we fall into sin and God lets us to be carried away captive, we should pray towards this city. When we pray towards this city and the temple you built, God will forgive our sins and bring us back to this land. And so Daniel was doing that. He was in Babylon, he's taken captive, but he's praying towards Jerusalem. And God doesn't ask us to do that. We're supposed to pray towards heaven, you know, but there is a important thing that we take time to pray. We have a place to pray, a position of prayer, and we pray. And then Daniel, you know, he had a plan for praying. He prayed, he gave thanks, it says, and he prayed, and he made supplication. So he was gave thanks to the Lord. He was thanking God. I mean, here he is in a bad land, taken out of captive out of his own country. And if you remember the beginning of Daniel, some of the things he went through as a young man, probably he became a eunuch, if you know what that means. So he was taken captive, trained in a foreign land. But God blessed him, and he had a lot to be thankful for, even in a foreign land. And he made sure he took time to be thankful. And again, that's another plan for prayer is thankfulness. You know, so often our prayers are, Lord, give me this, give me that, help me with this, help me with that, and we fail to take time to thank God. So we need to have a plan if we're going to pray appropriately and powerfully. We need to have a plan. Jesus gave us a pattern for prayer. That's found in Luke chapter 11. So if you turn to Luke chapter 11, our next point is to have a pattern for prayer, and that comes from Jesus in Luke chapter 11 as he was teaching his disciples. In Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1, we're familiar. This is often called the Lord's Prayer. It says, Luke chapter 11, verse 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So here we see Jesus giving us a pattern for prayer. Now some take this and just recite it as a prayer, thinking that it has some power. You know, we would say, they call it Our Father. And the Catholics say, you know, say so many Our Fathers or whatever. And it's Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When I was a young man, the company my dad worked for had one of their drivers, he was driving one of the company dump truck, pickup truck, small truck, in an ice storm and ran off the road into a ditch. And they had to come and pull him out. But, actually, my dad showed me the truck, my brothers and I. He had not took out a power line, and so the power line had broke and was dancing on the hood of the truck, and it burned holes in the hood of the truck. Well, he was in the truck, afraid to get out of it, and some people stopped up at the top on the road. He was down in the ditch, and they could hear him from the road quoting, Our Father which art in heaven. He just kept repeating that prayer, you know, Lord help me. That was it. That was the prayer he knew, and that was the prayer he said. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. He just kept repeating that, and he got out safely, so maybe it worked. But he was praying this as a prayer of help, you know, and Jesus necessarily isn't asking for that. He didn't tell us to do that. He's given us a pattern for prayer. And the first part of that pattern is, let's glorify God in our prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think it's interesting here, the whole Lord's Prayer. It says our and us. It's plural. Yes, he's my God, but generally he's our God. And we're not in this battle alone. We're not in this Christian life alone. It is us as a group. And we have one another, and we pray for one another, and we pray with one another. And that's important that we understand that this is plural. But he is our Father. And I think it's interesting, in the disciples' day, that was unique for them, almost scandalous, that you would call God your Father, that you would expect to have that personal relationship with God. That was different for them. They didn't understand that. We know John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We become God's child when we accept him as our Savior. He's our Father. We have that intimate relationship with him, and we can pray to him intimately. Now, we need to be careful. We pray intimately, but not irreverently. You know, just because he's our Father doesn't mean we become irreverent and disrespectful in our prayer and casual in our prayer. We need to honor him. And it says, hallowed be thy name. Let's honor his name. Let's make his name holy. Now, I can't make God any holier than what he is, right? But I can, in my heart and in my life, honor God and make him holy. Whether that's in my mind or in what other people see as I talk about God and as they see me in my Christian walk, God can be holy or hallowed by how I act and how I talk to him and how I interact even with others as I relate to them my Christianity. So people can see that, and God can be elevated by how I live and elevated in my heart. And that's the important thing, is that God is honored in our prayer. Let's start our prayers out when we pray, first of all, honoring God, thanking him that he's a good God, thanking him that he saved us, appreciating what God has done. So often we jump into prayer, and man, we go right to that second part, telling him our needs and telling our, sometimes our wants. You know, God, I want this. God, give me this. God, and those things are important. And I understand when it's a tragic situation or something has just immediately happened and we jump into prayer because it's, you know, last minute and we're trying to, you know, come before God's throne. Sometimes that's what we do. We just pray and say, Lord, help this person. You know, they're going to the hospital. Ed's friend. He's going to the hospital. Lord, I need you to help him right now. And sometimes we just drop on our knees and say that prayer, and that's fine. But as we get ourselves into a pattern of prayer and a plan of prayer, we need to start by honoring God in our prayer and elevating him, knowing who he is. Also praying for God's will in the situation too. You know, sometimes we get so excited about what we want, so concerned about what we want, that we don't necessarily think about God's will. Jesus, you know, through example in the garden, said, not my will, but thine be done. Here he tells his disciples to pray, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we want God's will. We need to want God's will. You know, as a 17-year-old boy, I was just praying, I wanted my mom to live. You know, I didn't think about, you know, what God wanted, you know, and God understands, you know, that we're sometimes our choices are made by ignorance or not fully understanding or whatever, and I think God allows for that. But we need to desire God's will in situations. And really, that's what praying does. Praying is really, it's communication with God. It's more than just asking God for things, and that's important. The Bible says if you don't ask, you won't get, you know, ask and you shall receive, and that is part of prayer. But another part of prayer is just getting to have a relationship with God. It's communication with God. God talks to us as we read his word. And that's where we find his will, in here. You know, pray for the salvation of souls. And that's important that we understand that. God talks to us through this book. We talk to him as we pray. That's that interaction. And so often we go through our day and never talk to God. He's with us. How upset would my wife be if I spent the day with her and didn't talk to her, just was there with her all day, never said a word to her? She wouldn't like that. And God doesn't like that either. He's with us all the time, everywhere, but sometimes we don't even acknowledge him, you know, and we need to acknowledge God. Another commentator wrote this, a couple quotes here. It says, when we pray, not my will, but thine be done, we can rest assured that even in sickness and tragedy, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. So we can rest assured that even in sickness and tragedy, God's will be done, and it'll be good if we allow God's will to be done. It says, for the child of God, the hope is not perfect health and happiness in this lifetime, but a resurrected body and a heavenly dwelling in the life to come. That's much more important. We get caught up in, you know, things we want now, and we want health, and we want wealth, and everything else, and rather than what God wants and what's most important. God wants to develop character in us and through us, and sometimes giving us cancer is a way for God to, or a sickness or other difficulty, is a way for God to work in our lives, to change us, to mold us, maybe to give us opportunities. I've met different people in my cancer journey that I would have never met before. People I probably never wanted to meet necessarily, because it means I'm dealing with treatment, but there's people I would have never crossed paths with, never had opportunity to deal with and pray with and talk to had I not got cancer. It's not something I wanted or asked for, but God's using it, and it works out for good, and God has a way of doing that, and we need to be thankful, and we need to be willing to pray God's will and his kingdom as well on earth, and that's really in our hearts. We want God's kingdom in our hearts, and we want to love God and know God. So first of all, when we pray, the pattern is, first of all, honor God. Let's respect God. Let's thank him and be worshipful. Then we can pray for our needs. He talks about praying for our daily bread, and generally, that's just, it's not just bread, not just food necessarily. It's anything that we need to sustain our life and physically and even spiritually to help us along. Ask God for those things daily, daily strength to deal with the things that we have to deal with, the what we need to go through life and to deal with life, and just all those things that we would need to deal with life, we're asking for here in our daily bread. And he talks about confession. And and forgiving our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We need to be willing to forgive others because we want God to forgive us. And boy, if we think about it, what Christ did on that cross, you know, to pay for our sins, you know, we ought to be willing to forgive others and be thankful for that and understand the need. So not only do we ask for what we need, we're asking for forgiveness as well for our sins. And then also ask for protection from temptation and from Satan. Some versions of the Bible talk about, puts the thing at the end, from the evil one, in interpreting this passage or in translating this passage, specifically dealing with Satan and needing protection from Satan and from his attacks. And so we need to pray for that, God to guide us, to direct us, and to deal with us. So Jesus gives us a pattern here on how to pray. And first of all, we pray and honor God, and then we give our requests to God. And then in James chapter 5, the other prayer we see is Elijah's prayer, James chapter 5. This is praying that has power, you know, to accomplish things. We want our prayers to be effective. We want them to accomplish things. And we see that here with Elijah and his praying. And first thing we see about Elijah's prayer, and let me just read the passage here real quick, starting James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. So here you see Elijah. This is back in 1 Kings. Elijah's praying. You remember the story? King Ahab's king, Jezebel's the queen, and Elijah prays, and God stops the rain. And so I think it's interesting. The first thing one notice about this prayer is Elijah prayed specifically. It was a specific prayer. If you want something from God, we need to ask specifically. What are you asking God for? I think to ask specifically, perhaps you need to have a prayer list, things written down that you're praying for. Because if you don't have a prayer list in front of you when you're praying, your prayers become, if you're not careful, if you're like me, very shallow, you know. Lord, pray for all of our missionaries, you know. Pray for the missionaries around the world. You know, pray for our pastor, keep him safe, keep him healthy, you know, and pray for this person. But we need to be specific in our prayers, you know. What is it you really want for your children? You know, maybe you're praying for a spouse for them, not yet, but down the road, you know, they're still young, you know, or whatever, you know, God, prepare a godly person for my child, prepare their heart, work in their heart, whatever. We need to be specific in our prayer, specifically praying. I mean, Elijah was very specific. Stop it from raining, you know, for 3 years, 6 months, stopped raining. He was specific. He wanted God to do something to change the hearts and lives of the people of Israel. They were worshiping Baal. You remember, this was followed up by him getting on Mount Carmel and having that big contest, you know, where you pray for Baal to bring fire down from heaven. I'll pray for God to do that. That happened right after he prayed this prayer, and it stopped raining. It was dry. But he was specific in what he wanted from God. We need to be specific what we want for our children, for our grandchildren, for that lost friend or whatever. Let's get specific. Have some things in front of you when you're praying, you know, this person, and list some things, what you want. I heard of a fellow was saying he said he'd show you the list if you wanted it. He was preaching. 62 things he prays every day for his wife. I thought, my word, I'm not sure I pray 10 things for my wife every day. Sorry, honey. But he had 62 things that he specifically asked God for his wife every day. And he said, there are things that you could ask God for your spouse. He said, I'll show you the list. You could ask God and you'd want them for your spouse. But are you praying for them? Are you asking God for those things? We need to be specific in our prayer if we want God to answer our prayer. We want to have power in our prayer. We also need to pray fervently. We need to have passion in our prayer. It says here, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are we fervent in our prayer? Are we passionate when we pray? Is it just, are we saying the words? You know, are you like me sometimes? You're praying to God, and your mind is over here thinking about, you know, what happens when I get to work later today, or what's happening here, what's happening. We're praying, but our mind is somewhere else. We need to be fervent in our prayer. We need to be passionate in our prayer. We need to be focused in our prayer if we want God to answer our prayer. Are we willing to do that? We also need to be righteous and pray righteously in our prayer. It says, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We got sin in our life, our prayers aren't effective. We need to be righteous for our prayers to be effective. Someone said that sin does not break our union with God, but it does break our communion with God. You know, we're still saved when we sin, but our fellowship with God is broken because of sin in our life. And if we want power in our prayer, we need to have a clean life. We need to be forgiven of our sins. And we need to be asking God regularly, every day, to forgive us of our sins. Maybe at night we need to stand and say, Lord, show me where I sinned today so I can confess them and so I can be clean and so our prayers won't be hindered. We need to be righteous when we pray and have a clean life so our prayers will have power. And then we see that Elijah prayed persistently in his praying. You remember the story, it's back in 1 Kings. He prayed one time, and the rain stopped. He got on Mount Carmel. You remember the prophets of Baal were cutting themselves, dancing, whatever they were doing. Couldn't get fire come down from heaven. He gets ready to pray. He has them pour water over top of this. Remember, he dug a trench around the altar and poured water over top of it. And he prayed one time, God sent fire down from heaven. But when he wanted the rain to come back, he prayed, he sent his servant to go look for a cloud, and he came back and said, there's no cloud. So he prayed again, sent him again, said, there's no cloud. He prayed and sent him again. 7 times he prayed before his servant finally came back and said, hey, there's a cloud in the sky the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, you better get ready, rain's coming. He prayed 7 times for the rain to come back. And so here it just says he prayed, and you know, but he was persistent in prayer. He continued in prayer. He didn't stop. He didn't get discouraged because he didn't get his prayer answered right away. You know, it's like us. We want the answer yesterday, and God says tomorrow. You know, God's timetable isn't our timetable. If you live long enough, you understand that God has a timing that isn't our timing, but his timing is good. We just need to be willing to accept it. But in the meantime, we need to be persistent in our praying, continuing in our prayer, asking God over and over again for that prayer request, and give it to God, and let God work in that. So you and I, if we want power in our prayer, need to be like Daniel. We need to have a structure and a plan as we pray, knowing what to pray, where to pray, when to pray, how to pray. We need to follow the pattern of Jesus. You know, honor God, then ask our request, pray for ourselves. And then Elijah, you know, pray with fervency, with a desire, being specific on what you're praying for, and then let God work. I'll remind you that on the back, on top of those gift boxes back, or giving boxes back there, are those 30 days of prayer. Feel free to take those as you leave. Hopefully that'll help you find a way to pray consistently for 30 days, maybe then continue beyond that. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you that you love us and that you care for us. Lord, you give us the opportunity to come to know you and to have a relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that you'll challenge our hearts to be people who pray effectively. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a few minutes to break up in groups and pray, so feel free to do that. And then there are papers on the back if you want to grab them on the way out.